Hey, what's going on? This is Julian Alvarez, and I'm here with Claudio Fuentes. Welcome to the show, Claudio.
Thank you, Julian. Thanks for having me.
Of course, yeah. So we're going to be talking about marketing and growth. So how do you get your first 100, first 10, first 100, first 1,000 users? How do you think about top of funnel growth versus retention? What do you focus on? There's limited resources. All of these fun things we're going to explore. So I guess starting out, I'm curious just to think about like, how do you think about marketing? How do you think about growth, the prioritization between like the product side of things, the marketing side? Like, what is your general framework for how you place this area of focus of growth and marketing and how it compares to like building and product?
Yeah, I guess before we go too deep into like the semantics of what each one of those kind of functions mean, right?
Yes.
And obviously everyone's going to have their own different interpretation of those functions, mm-hmm. but from a startup perspective, at the very foundation level, like the most important thing in a startup is momentum.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, you start a company, either you're growing or you're not. And if you're not growing, you're dying. Right. And if you're growing, like, great. Then you'll be able to continue iterating your product, build towards your vision. You'll be able to raise money. On the converse, like if you're not growing, you're not going to be able to raise money. Right. Yeah. So you're in this death spiral. So the most important thing, you know, from day one is like, how do we begin having some momentum, right? Going from nothing to like, there's something happening. And then how do we maintain that momentum? And then how do we grow that momentum, right? So that it keeps going. Yeah. At some point, what you're fishing for is, can this thing feel like now it has a life of its own? Like I'm no longer pushing this boulder up a hill. It's kind of beginning to roll.
Yeah. Right? Is that like the PMF state? Like product market fit?
That's exactly your right? PMF moment, right? Where it's like we nailed something and we came up with a repeatable process for continuing to feed into that momentum. And now it's kind of getting out of hand, right? It's growing. It's becoming a little bit bigger than us. And now we need to keep up with it.
Yeah,
that's a great moment to get to. And that's always the hardest part in startups is getting to that moment, right? So there's definitely a lot of, you know, tactics and a lot of things that you can do to sort of, first of all, know where are you? Are you a cold start problem? Are you at the very beginning with literally nothing happening? Or are you kind of in the middle where it's rolling, but now you need to maintain it? But I think the bottom line is like just maintaining your focus on that metric, which is momentum. You can define it however you want, whatever makes sense to you as a business, but momentum.
Give me an example. How do you think about momentum? Like what should I be looking at? Like what metrics are important? How do I quantify momentum?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a classic sort of management answer. It depends, right? Everyone hates that answer, but it's the reality. It's every single situation is different. So you have to figure out what metrics help you get a gauge of whether the business is moving in the right direction or not.
Yeah,
that can be many, many different things for many different startups, right?
So what does it mean for your startup, for example?
Yeah.
And feel free to give a little context.
Sure. So my current startup is called Leap. Leap mm-hmm. is working on infrastructure to make it easy for product engineers to add AI features to their products.
Right.
So we have a very easy to use API. You just call our API and you have AI capabilities, right? That you can just like pull in and build magical experiences with.
Leap over all the friction.
Exactly. So with Leap, obviously we're trying to power developers to build great, you know, AI-based applications. So our North Star, and it's very important to have a North Star, is just how many developers are actively, or how many apps have been built on top of Leap, and how many developers are actively using, you know, our API. Yeah. So it's a very custom tailor to what we do, but it's a proxy for, you know, if we are not delivering on the core thing that this business is meant to solve, then we don't have momentum. Hmm. And we can tell ourselves whatever story we want. So if we were to measure something different, like let's say traffic, on our landing page, it's like, great, people could be viewing your page and then doing nothing. That doesn't mean you have a business.
Yeah.
But if people are building applications on top of Leap, there's something there. So that's what we try to hone into. That's what we just stare at this metric. Multiple times a day, we have a whiteboard next to us where we literally, like every time that you know, we refresh it and it moves. So like we go, we update the number and we're just staring at it. That's our North Star. And that's our gauge for momentum. So either it's going up or it's not going up. And worse yet, like if it's going down, you have a problem, right? So like that's the thing to pay attention to.
Interesting. Okay. And how do you break that up, or how do you lead up to that? Because basically, okay, activations, how many people are actually building apps on top of Leap? That's the core. So then how do you think about like, hey, what can we do to like make this number go up? Do you, for example, look at like, well, for example, there's this funnel framework called the R, like the pirate framework, and there's acquisition, activation, retention, revenue, referral. So I think what you're talking about is activation, active users actually building apps on top of Leap. So one step before that is acquisition, right? Bringing users in. Mm-hmm. So is that kind of like the main thing? Like, what do you try to control or do? What are your inputs to try to maximize for that output of activations, people actively using it?
And one thing I'll say is, like, at least for us, like the North Star is the most important thing. Everything else, like our metrics, that sort of thing, that becomes secondary. That becomes, it gives you additional clues and additional insight as to why that number is either moving or it's not moving. Mm. Right. So again, we might have great acquisition, but very poor retention. That number might stay flat, right? If we're just losing as many customers as we're gaining. Right. So the most important thing is like our North Star. Everything else becomes just more of investigative secondary KPIs that help us kind of like orient and do some investigation. Mm-hmm. So the way we think about that is once we have our North Star, then we can start looking again at these secondary KPIs. And then we can start thinking, all right, are enough people even exposed to our product? Are enough people even coming through the front door?
Yeah, the top of funnel.
Exactly. And if not, like that's already kind of evidence of an area that you should be taking a look at. And if not enough people are coming in and no one's using the product, then it's like, great. So the first problem to solve is get people in the door. Right. Once you have people in the door, is our North Star going up? Yes or no? No, it's not. Great. Where are they getting stuck? Let's take a look at that funnel again. Right. Yeah. They came in through the front door, they played around with something, they hated it, they left. Mm. Right. So now we have a problem. It's not on getting people in the front door because that seems to be working okay right now. It's they just didn't see something that they like.
Yeah.
Right. So like let's go talk to those users. Let's go understand like what problems do they have and why either why we're not addressing those problems, or maybe we are addressing them, but we are just failing at educating them on how to use our product. There could be a variety of reasons, right? An infinite number of reasons, but that's sort of like our guideline, our barometer for like understanding, where in almost like the stack, where in the flow, where in the funnel, like you should be paying attention to. So for us, again, is the North Star moving? Yes or no? It's a binary question.
Yeah,
very easy, and it simplifies and it focuses the entire company. But once you can answer that question, in order to answer that question, you're going to have to go deep and drill down into the specific steps that make up, at the end of the day, that number.
Yeah, yeah. So for example, in your case, how many people are actively using an app on Leap? So then the reverse engineering there is like, well, to do that, you have to create an account. And to create an account, you have to go and visit the website. And like, okay, how are people even like finding the website? It's like the awareness of Leap, maybe through socials, through influencers, whatever it is. So that, is that kind of like the pipeline or the investigation you might do there?
Yeah. And look, at the very beginning, it's also hard because our metric, what we care about the most, is actually pretty deep in our funnel. I'll walk you through the process. So like people coming into the application, obviously, like getting exposed that we exist, like awareness that Leap is even a thing. Number one, are we even getting traffic in our landing page?
Yeah.
Then do people sign up? Then if they do sign up, do they even explore, let's say, our documentation, or do they play around in our playground, which is just a teaser. It's still not the value action that we're looking for. Mm. Then after that comes the last step, which is, did they actually create an API key and did they actually directly call our API? And that's what we track. We track very deep into the funnel that they get to the end result. That is a very strong signal for us to know if this is a real business, if people are actually building applications on top of Leap. Everything else is sort of secondary. But here's the trick. At the very beginning, people are not going to make it all the way down your funnel. Right. Again, this is a very deep step that kind of proves the value of the business.
But why not? Like, why aren't they going to go all the way?
Because we're probably going to have made a lot of mistakes beforehand. Right. Yeah. So
the funnel's not optimized.
The funnel's not optimized. And worse yet, like there's no one coming through the funnel. And then once people are coming through the funnel, you realize like our sign up is broken.
Yeah.
And then you fix your sign up. And then, okay. And you still haven't been able to move the needle all the way at the bottom of your kind of like deep metric. Mm. Okay, we fixed the sign up. Now they're actually coming in, they're reading through the docs, but the docs suck. Everyone's confused. So they just leave and they don't even know what you do. Maybe your positioning on the landing page made them feel like they were actually going to get a different product, and they came in surprised. It's not the way that we presented it was wrong, and the way that we're communicating, you know, our business is misleading, and that leads to kind of like the wrong audience. So calibrating all these things at the very beginning, it feels a little bit kind of uncomfortable and unintuitive. So even though you might be staring at your North Star, it's not moving. At the beginning, it might be worth kind of like maybe having like a temporary North Star. It's a little bit earlier in the funnel.
Mm.
So pushing that number up is important. Once you feel like, okay, this kind of feels like it's kind of working, We move it. Eventually we park it at the thing that actually like proves the business.
Interesting. So what then guides your focus? Is it just looking at the funnel and seeing like where the funnel is like the worst, or like, I don't know. How do you detect? There's so many steps of the funnel. Maybe there could be several parts broken. Is it just trying to identify which part is the most broken and therefore where is the greatest opportunity for growth? Or is that how you think about it? Or how do you think about where focus should go?
Yeah. And look, I think there are just multiple lenses that are important, right? I think, again, we spoke about North Star number one. Then you can obviously look at sort of like an acquisition funnel that gets you from zero, I'm a stranger, all the way to like, I'm using your product. Great. Yeah. And even then, you know, people might drop. So what happens is like, that's just one snapshot of something you should be looking at. But there's other different angles. There's more like our actual like retention loops, cohort analytics for our people even coming back. Like maybe they dropped out of that funnel, but they actually came back 2 weeks later and they used the product again. Mm. Maybe they never came back. But like looking at multiple snapshots of the same under like data that's underneath your North Star is important. So the one thing I'll say is like, don't just obsess about one linear flow.
Yeah.
Worry more about finding like the actual loops of behavior and optimizing for each one of those loops.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, and those are like two of the maybe most important concepts that I've, at least I think when it comes to growth is the funnel. Like what is the funnel to get all the way toward like the North Star metric you want? But also what are the loops that can make that thing recurring, right? Like for example, referral loops. How do you make sure that someone comes in and loves it? It can easily like bring someone else new that is going to go through a funnel. Like that's a loop you want to identify.
Right.
What are like examples of loops that exist within Leap or that you're trying to build within Leap to like further like achieve growth?
Like I think one of the graphs that I love to stare at that kind of gives me the insight as to what loops to kind of like look at closer or try to optimize is sort of a graph that tells us, you know, how many people are either returning users, how many people on a week to week basis, how many people are returning users, how many people are net new users, and how many people that we actually just churn loose. Like they were using the product last week, but this week they actually dropped.
And resurrected, right?
And resurrected, exactly.
Yeah, resurrected users. They came back after having churned.
Exactly. They had to use it, left, and now came back.
Yep.
So looking at that stack gives me a really good snapshot as to like basically the leaky bucket problem.
Yep.
Which what that means is basically at any given point in time, a startup is basically just like a bucket. And at the very beginning, it's extremely leaky. So you pour water on top, most of it is going to leak out, right? Water is just basically a way of like saying users. Like users come into your product, most of them leave because they don't see like something of value that they kind of stick around for. So the problem is like, how do you prevent the bucket from leaking so much? And how do you know whether the problem is, should I be pouring more water at the top or should I be preventing the leaks? Mm. And the answer is both. Again, it depends. There's no easy silver bullet here as to like focus on that one thing and you have a great startup. You have to focus on both. You have to pour more water at the top. You have to fix the problem at the bottom. But the question is, to your point, like, how do you know what to focus on, right? So on a given day, which is the most pressing problem at the moment? So taking a look at this graph, right, this shows you a snapshot of like new users, churned users, returning users, resurrected users, is a really good way of getting a sense of like, are we just churning a disproportionate amount of users? Maybe we should fix the leak.
Yeah.
But you can fix the leak as much as you want, but if no new people are coming in from the top, then that's also a problem.
Yeah. And you need people to come in at the top in order to test how like new features or changes you made are affecting like new users that are coming in and how well the faucet has been fixed or not.
Right.
So that's why you constantly need that in stream of top of funnel.
Yeah. So there's kind of two goals that I focus on the most. Number one is I want to see the new users on a week to week basis go up.
Yeah.
Like every single, like if we had 100 users last week, new users, net new users come in for the first time into the product. This week, I want that to be 150. Mm. Next week, I want that to be 200. So are we trending in the right direction in terms of like our ability to acquire people? Because that is the basis of a growth engine, which ultimately, again, going back to like where we started this conversation, momentum, right? Mm. How do you continue to build momentum and get that boulder to go faster and faster and faster? You have to find a way to bring in more and more and more users over time.
Yeah.
Right. So like staring at this number of how many net new people came in the door, very important. At the same time, though, I look at how many people came in and left, churned users.
Yeah.
And I want to see optimizations on both on a week to week basis. Are new users going up? Are we like our total volume of new people? Is that going up? And at the same time, is the percentage amount of people that we're losing, is that decreasing?
Yeah.
Maybe we only retain 20% of users last week. Well, I want to retain 25% this week. And 30 next week, you know, and those are conservative numbers, but you want to be very aggressive with this. Can I cut my churn in half?
Yeah. Like set goals, be intentional and set goals around like, hey, what is my retention after 14, after 30 days at right now? What do I want it to be like 2 weeks from now? And what can we do? What are the biggest opportunities that we've identified from talking to users that are likely to increase retention after 14 days, 30 days, whatever your goal is?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not exact science. You're not always going to have exactly the answer and exactly the right attribution for things, but it's more directional science. Right. Like you should have a sense of out of given these inputs or given this general feedback, I have an intuition about either what's working or what I could do.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Let's end by talking just for a few minutes about top of funnel and how you approach or thought about getting your first 10, 100,000 users, like the different strategies, like how do you, like what did you try? What worked? What didn't? How'd you prioritize? How'd you experiment? What was that experience like for you guys or how'd you approach it?
Yeah, I would say like one of the most important things for a startup is like even knowing like who is your target user.
Yeah.
Like have some definition of it. Even if it's wrong, have a definition, right? Because you need to be able to know who you're going after. Right. And to the point where like maybe you can even like list out a couple of examples of like these five people and I can give you their names. They all fall into what I consider to be my target user.
Yeah.
You know, so starting from that perspective, the first question, I would treat them very differently at different stages, but going from 0 to 10 is sort of a process of like, who do I know and how do I get access to reaching out to 10 people that fit exactly like my criteria or definition of who my customer is. And a lot of times that could be just hand-in-hand combat. You know, I've literally recruited users by just going on Twitter, like searching for keywords, finding people that are saying the thing that I'm claiming that I'm solving and DMing them. I'd be like, hey, I know you have this problem. I have this product. Check it out.
Yeah.
Right. That's not going to scale. But I manually recruit my first 10 users.
Yeah.
Very different from what you'll do once you're trying to go, you know, from 100 to 1,000, 1,000 to 10,000.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Plus in the beginning, the good thing about doing that like manual, non-scalable like reach out is also that it's a one-to-one conversation. So you're more likely to get feedback as well, which can be really valuable.
I think a very big mistake sometimes is trying to get too many users too early, where you end up focusing a lot more on like abstracted high-level metrics. Like you might see, you know, maybe you go viral and you start getting like 100,000 users come in and use your product. It's like, that's great, but how much are you learning from them?
Mm.
You might have a really bad experience, but if your focus is purely on like optimizing those numbers and like, oh, I want to grow this 10%, like maybe I think you might be missing like the bigger picture here, which is deeply understanding a couple of those individuals and make sure that they actually love and adore your experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because not all users are made the same, right? If you have people coming into your product, but your target user is say developers, but you also have like, I don't know, like some other type of user coming in that you don't really care about, then like, you know, it's not going to be as valuable because they might actually lead you in the wrong direction of they're giving you feedback that's not coming from the target person you're trying to focus on.
Yeah. And look, starting with a small number means like you can actually get to know these people by name. Like I, you know, with Leap, like I know all the names of like the first 50 customers. After that, we started losing a little bit of track, and that's a good problem to have. But at the very beginning, like I can tell you like this person had that problem. This person had that need. And that intimacy of like really getting to know like your users deeply has helped us really just like steer kind of like where and how to position the product.
Yeah, it like builds product intuition.
Yeah, yeah. And it just having those meaningful conversations, like the fundamental sort of guiding principle is like build a product that, I mean, look, YC says this, right? But it's better to build a product that 10 people love than a product that 1,000 people sort of kind of like. Because you have a strong foundation. Once you have that strong foundation, it kind of like builds the basis for growth.
Yeah, gotcha. Cool. As a final question on this segment, how you think about like 10x in growth? Like what are growth hacks that come to mind? Like I know one concept you shared with me that I found pretty valuable is when you're experimenting and trying new things to just bring users in at the top of the funnel, try to find what works and be consistent with that thing. Like do what reliably works, but also at the same time, try to always identify like new 10x opportunities that can help you like get disproportional results. So I'm curious if you have thinking or like what sort of ideas or things like can help you achieve those 10x results, or is it just that mindset that you think is the core there?
I think there's a couple of things, like from a strategy and sort of like analytics perspective, staring at that graph, right, that tells you like week over week, like what is our movement, right, in terms of like net new people coming into the product. Like it's as long as that number is going up by the aggressive goals that we're setting on a week to week basis, maybe the current approach is good.
Yeah.
Right. Keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Try to find a way to maximize. Keep going. At some point, what tends to happen is your current growth strategy is going to plateau.
Yeah.
Right. So like no matter how hard you try, you've kind of exhausted that initial source of growth.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the guiding metric is I start to see my numbers begin to flatten a little bit.
At plateau.
And that's usually a clue to kind of like push you to like, all right, I'm going to have to find another source.
Yep.
Now, to your point, that doesn't mean I should abandon everything that I've been doing to date. It just means how do I kind of freeze that and maintain it? So we continue to have like the predictable growth that we've already figured out, but now begin to try to find ways to make us more efficient. So we spend less time doing that and free up some time to start taking big, bold bets to finding the next driver of growth.
Yep.
Right. So we originally started by, you know, with Leap, by exhausting our personal network, going really hard on Twitter, kind of like organic, recruiting people, getting everyone in the door. At some point, we exhausted our reach. Everyone that we knew had already heard about us. That's great. So we start plateauing a little bit. No matter how hard we tweeted or tag people or try to like, you know, engage the people that we already knew, like that stopped working as well as it did, you know, the week before.
Mm.
So the question became, how do we grow from here? And how do we unlock the next driver of growth that's going to allow us to go from here to 10x that number? The answer for us in that case became tap into new audiences. Or that was the experiment that we wanted to try. And after all, these are all experiments. They're ideas that we have and we go out and test them aggressively and either they work or they don't work. But the guiding principle is like we figured out kind of like a 1x growth engine. Now how do we figure out the next driver that's sort of like a 10x opportunity here? So tapping into new audiences, the way we approached that was, hey, can we start working with people that already have existing audiences that are different than ours? So that became, you know, let's try an influencer sort of like developer relations type campaign where we kind of engage with influencers, get them to post about our product, that sort of thing. We're trying that right now. And we're starting to feel again that uptick, right? Even though we've frozen, we kept doing the organic engagement that got us this far. Now we're starting to take bets that kind of push that up again.
Yep.
At some point, I guarantee you, this is going to flatline again.
Yeah.
Right. And then we'll ask the same question. Like once we get to this baseline, how do we 10x that? And what kind of opportunities fall in the ballpark of potentially giving us that 10x growth?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, but yeah, to your point, consistency is important, right? You can't drop the ball. The thing that was working yesterday, let's keep doing that because it kind of got us this baseline. Now let's focus on the next thing. But we aggressively allocate time towards finding the next big bet and then testing it aggressively.
Yeah. Yeah. And things change so quickly that it's not guaranteed that what works today will work tomorrow. So that's why you always have to constantly experiment, even if things are the baseline is good.
Yeah.
And the 10X is a good mindset to make sure that you're not thinking linearly, but identifying those opportunities that can lead to disproportionate.
It actually maps perfectly to your original point, which was, you know, when we start thinking about starting a new startup, like the different stages of that. How do I go from 0 to 10 users? How do I go from 10 to 100 users? 100,000, 1,000 to 10,000, 10,000 to 1,000,000 users. These almost feel like completely different snapshots that each might require their own different sort of growth strategy and growth drivers to be identified.
Mm.
So just, you know, approaching like the project with this mindset of like, there's no silver bullet. The one thing that we're going to do the whole time that's going to like take us to the top, it's going to be a process of continuously exploring, continuously reinventing the way that we do things and being open to that and being aware of when things begin to fall a little bit flat.
Yeah.
And willing and able to just like transform yourself and try new things, right? Completely reinvent your team sometimes.
Yeah, that's the core of it. But amazing, Claudio. Thank you for this masterclass on growth. The final thought I have which is how you started is to, as a friendly reminder, if you're not growing, you're dying. Well said. Thank you for the masterclass, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Cool.